بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهدي الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له ولي مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we send our prayers and salutations upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the path of His excellence and to follow His footsteps, inshaAllah. And in these days of mass media and communication, we're all on different wavelengths in many ways. Some of us are in one world, other of us are in another world, based on what we look at and what we watch. And even that was his time with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it wasn't too much different. Somebody came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said to him, "Ya Rasulullah, things are difficult, the time is bad." And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi agreed with him. And another one came to him soon after and said, "Things are amazing, things are good." And Prophet Muhammad also alayhi wasallam agreed with him. And the Sahaba said, "Why do you agree with both? Is it good or is it bad?" He said, "It depends on how you look at the world. How do you see it?" And the prism, we all filter things through a prism in our own mind. Depend on what we see, what we're exposed to. And there are definitely difficulties in the world. We can't deny that. It's in our faces every day. And there are also amazing good things in the world. But one of the things that we all have to come back to is ourselves. You can watch the news all day. You can watch YouTube and follow whichever path you want to follow. But at the end of the day, we come back to ourselves. So inshallah today, I just want to reflect on a very, very small story. It's probably the smallest story in the Quran. And not many people know about it. It's in Surah Al-A'raf. If you want to go back afterwards, Surah Al-A'raf, verses 175 and 176. And even the story is not very clear, but it's followed up with a lot of tafsir and a lot of hadiths. But just to keep it brief, inshallah, today, the backdrop of the story is Bani Israel. And as we all know, Bani Israel is the most repeated. Prophet Moses, alayhi salam, is the most repeated story in the Quran. And there's a reason for that. Why is it not other prophets that are mentioned more? Why is it not Prophet Adam? Why is it not Prophet Ibrahim? It's Prophet Moses and Bani Israel. And one of the things Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, told us, that we would follow Bani Israel. Shibran by handspan by handspan. What does that mean? And if you look at the things that they did, we're falling into the same things many a time. And it's nothing bad. I mean, Bani Israel were guided by Prophet Moses. They were rightfully guided, but they fell into the traps which the stories are trying to prevent us from falling into. فَقْصُصُ الْقَصُصُ Remind them of these stories. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ So that they may ponder and think about them. Now, the backdrop of the story is Bani Israel had been saved from Fir'aun. Moses split the sea. He went, we all know the story, and he went through. And they were in what they were called the Tih. They were lost, and they were traveling around Sinai and the deserts. And they wanted to go back to Palestine, which was the Al-Ard al-Muqaddasa, which was their promised land. So they wanted to go back. Now, as we all know, Prophet Moses went for 40 days, and then he came back, and they had worshipped the calf. We know the story of the calf, and he worshipped the calf, and he came back, and we know this whole, the whole story. Now, after that, he said to them, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ Sorry, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ يَقَوْمْ إِنَّكُمْ ظَلَمْتُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ When he said to the people, "You have, oh people of my people, يَقَوْمِي, you have wronged yourselves." بِتَخَوْتَكُمْ الْعَجْرِ فَتُوبُوا إِلِي بَأَرِكُمْ So you have wronged yourselves by worshipping the calf, so repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the difference between Bani Israel and our manhaj, or our sharia system, they had to have things, they're very materialistic. They had to see something to know if it means anything. It's the same with a child. If you say to a child, "Here's a check for £1 million, or I give him a bag of toys," he'll take the bag of toys, £20 versus £1 million. He doesn't understand the value of the check. He understands the value of what's in his hands. Very materialistic. And we're living in a materialistic world. Everything is material, and more and more and more. Businesses, they have growth. It has to grow every year. We have to sell more and more and more. We can't just be happy with what we have. And there's many, many examples. And people want to... That's what capitalism is. And we can go on about it all day. But the concept is materialism can destroy us if we don't control it. It's nothing bad to have a big company and to make it grow and to do well, but to make it control you, that's what this story is about today. So Prophet Moses alayhi salam said to the people, "Tubu ila bari'ikum," seek repentance from your Lord. Now how do we seek repentance? It's between you and Allah. There's three conditions. You stop what you're doing, you have regret for what you did, and you intend not to do it again. Very easy. I don't have to even say a word. Ya Rabbi, astaghfirullah, I'm sorry. I won't do that again. It's done. Very easy. You don't have to do any ritual for it. Obviously, the more you do, the better. If you pray, you do some rak'ahs, you pray some, read some Quran, remind you of Allah, that's good. But we can just do it between you and Allah. We don't have confession. You don't have to go to a sheikh and say, "Ya Mawlana, I've done wrong." You just do it between you and Allah. But they had to see something, and he knows that about them. They had to see it. So he said, "Faqtulu anfusakum," so kill yourselves. Actually commit suicide or get someone to kill you. We're going to kill people who did this. So that made them wake up. And that's another reflection. We need to think, do we have to wait for Allah's punishment to come before we wake up? It's a lot better to wake up first, then you're prepared. But if you wait for the punishment to come, it can be too late by then. Oh, I'll do tawbah when I'm older. Oh, I'll do hajj when I'm 60, 70, 80. It's too early now. I'm too busy. I'm too young to be religious. There's old people can be that. When I'm older, I'll start reading the Quran. Right now, it's okay. I'm busy. Those people go down that path and they never come back. It's very hard. Like Imam Ghazali said, he said, as soon as you let the desires can take control of you, it's like trying to hold a horse from the tail. You can't do it. But if you get on the horse early on, you can control them. So Moses said, kill yourselves. He said to them, you have to kill yourselves. So that made them woke up. And after that, but then fataba alayhi, so Allah pardoned them. It didn't happen. They didn't have to kill themselves. But it was a wake-up call for them. So what they did, they went to a place which is now in Jordan called Jabal Nebo. The people visit it today. And that place is said where Prophet Moses is buried. And Allah alam, we don't know exactly, but that's where they say. However, he wanted to go into the Ard al-Muqaddasa. He wanted to go to the Promised Land with them. So they passed by a town who lived in this place, who were a town which had relations with the Pharaoh, but they weren't under his, you know, control. So there was a man within that town, and that name is not in the Quran, but it's in the Hadith. His name is Bil'am bin Ba'ura. Bil'am bin Ba'ura. Now this man was a religious man. He knew Moses was a prophet. He knew it was true. He followed him. He understood. But he had sickness in his heart. And the sickness was people weren't listening to him. He wasn't popular. He was just Brother Shahada. That's the old religious man. Nobody wants to really... He's not famous. And that's the problem with some religious people want to become famous. They use the religion as a platform for fame. And especially in the Middle East. I mean, not so much here, but if you go up in the Middle East on TV, the sheikhs have become celebrities now. You can't speak to them anymore. Speak to their agent. They're like actors and celebrities. It's good that, you know, people are actually, you know, enjoying listening to them. But at the same time, what is the reason for their... sometimes even their fatwas change according to who they're doing them for. So you get the celebrity sheikh or you get the political sheikh. And generally, scholars always stood very far away from politics because they found that it can be corrupting in its nature. Not to say they weren't sheikhs who did involve in politics because they said that's a way of change and we can help. But generally, Abu Hanifa was imprisoned because he didn't want to be anywhere near the politicians. Imam Malik had problems with politics. Imam Shafi'i was imprisoned. They all had problems with politics because they saw how difficult it was. And even the Qadi Qudha, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said that out of every three judges, two are in hell. So there's a 66% chance you're going to be in hell. So that's why these are bad odds. I don't want to go for that. I don't want to be in that position. It's too much for me to handle. And even the Khalifa said to Abu Hanifa, "You're a liar. You can do it." He said, "Well, if I'm a liar, I can't. How can you put a liar as Qadi al-Qudha?" Anyway, back to the story. So Bil'am bin Ba'ura was a man who was religious. He knew the Injil. He was very pious. He knows Moses is a prophet. But he didn't have fame. He had a problem. He wanted to be heard. He wanted his voice to be heard. He wanted people to recognize him. So these people had a fear that there's going to be problems in the future if they look after Bani Israel because of their relationship with the Pharaoh. So they said to this Bil'am bin Ma'arat, they said to him, make dua against Bani Israel, that Allah gets rid of them or moves them away or does something. So he said, are you crazy? These Bani Israel and Moses, this is a prophet of Allah. He split the sea, his prayers have been answered. How can I do anything against him? So they said, if you do and it works, we will make you something special. See, they went into the place in his heart. You know, they tempted him. And we all have this. It comes in our lives one time or another, there's a temptation. Some people are there's a temptation of wealth, or fame, or lust. The seven sins, we all know, you know, all these things can lure us in different ways. So the main concept I want to talk about is the would you sacrifice your religion and your morals for a little bit of dunya? And remember the word dunya that we have. There's a difference in Arabic, because Arabic there's several words for one meaning sometimes. So you have dunya, which is the world, and alam is the world as well. Dunya is dani'a. Dunya is the lower part of the world. Material. You can never get enough. You have one, you want more, you want two, you want three, you have one house, you want a second house, you have this, you'll never end. It never ends. Dunya never ends. Alam is the signs of Allah. These are the things that we can reflect from, you know, we can say, isn't it amazing that this happens? Isn't it amazing that this is the stars and the heavens and the earth? Or that's the world. That's good. Dunya is dani'a, is low. And this Bil'am bin Ma'arat, his heart was still in the world. He was religious. And the problem as well that we have, a lot of youth especially, not necessarily youth, elder people, youth, but it can be very enticing for young people when they get drawn into religiosity. Sometimes they have psychological problems. We all have psychological problems. If you go to psychiatrists, it's not so popular here. In America, everyone has a shrink they go to and they talk with them. And we all have problems. If you really sit down with a psychiatrist, they'll find faults in our minds. And even psychiatrists themselves have some of the biggest problems. We all have problems. But the problem is, sometimes people have anger and they have madness within themselves. And sometimes they embrace a religion and they express their anger through that religion or through that philosophy or through that politics or whatever coat they put on. So sometimes you find people, they're mad before they become religious. And then they become religious and they're still mad. So it's a mad religious person. Don't blame the religion. It's their madness. And what we can see today, people going around and screaming and wanting to cut heads off, and that's not part of their religion. Prophet ﷺ never went around screaming those things. But people, they express their madness through religion sometimes. So Bil'am bin Ma'arat, he had the religiosity, but he had problems within him. He knew the Torah. And there were people now reading the Quran. And Prophet Muhammad ﷺ predicted these people. He said, their Quran won't go past their throats. So they can recite the Quran and it's beautiful and people are crying and listening to it and they harvest the Quran. But it doesn't go past the throat, meaning it doesn't penetrate to their hearts. And Sayyidina Ali, karamallahu wajha, said that kalimatul haqq, he said, if somebody says a word of truth, yataghalghal, he said, it lingers in the tongue and the throat of the believer until it goes into another heart and then it festers in their heart. So sometimes you get somebody saying the word, but they don't even understand or feel it. They're just saying it because he read it from a book. And it happens a lot, and that's what a recommendation to myself and everyone. Any religious person you hear, or whatever their name is, or whatever their background, or whatever they say they've studied, or whoever they are, or whatever they're reciting to you, always listen or look at them with one eye closed. Have your own ability to try and discern for yourselves. And the problem, a lot of us, we're grown up, when we're young, the parents will say, just listen to the sheikh. Just don't ask any questions. Be quiet. Now, to teach a child to discern is harder than to teach him. You can make a child memorize the Quran, and many of us have done it. Many people can do it. But to discern truth from falsehood, that's the harder thing to do. And you can't do it by teaching them, this is good, this is bad, this is good, this is bad. And a lot of our parents, if you do that, you're going to go to hell. If you do that, you go to Jannah. It's very black and white. But the ability to discern for yourself, that something has to come by practice, and you have to teach them, and you have to not teach them particular things. It's living by example. So if somebody offers you a bribe, it can be £5 bribe or it can be £5 million. The concept is a bribe. teach them the concept of bribes. What is it to bribe? Is it a bribe to favor someone because they're your friend? It's a kind of a bribe because you have some benefit. All these little things we're exposed to in our work, in our lives. And corruption exists everywhere. On the big level, the small level, the medium level. But it's still corruption. If I steal a penny from you now, or if I steal a million, it's still theft. So back to the story. Now, Bil'am bin Ba'ura had the problem. He understood, he could recite the religion, he could tell people what it was. But he couldn't, it didn't penetrate his own heart. He had the problem. He wanted to be famous. Now, he went to Bani Israel and he said, and Moses said to him, that you prayed against us, because his name became popular with the people, but it didn't work. So, Bil'am bin Ba'ura know that he'd lost it. He said, what can I do? So, he said, well, I've lost my religion now. I've gone back on my religion, what can I do? Well, if I've lost my religion, I might as well take dunya. So he said to the people of his tribe, make your women dress up nice and perfume and go to the Bani Israel and try and tempt them. And encourage these women to engage in sexual activity with Bani Israel. And that's what Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, the first fitna, the first tribulation of Bani Israel was Nisa, was that lust that they fell into. Now the story is in, as I said, Surah Al-A'raf, verse 175 and 176. Recite to them, relate to them the story of the person who we showed him our signs. He used to recite the Quran, he used to recite the Torah, he knew who Moses was. فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا. And salakh is like when you rip your skin or you rip something. He ripped it off, because it's a hard thing to do. And it's always, and it really, the Quran, subhanAllah, always makes you think, it describes it, the words describe what it's like. The first time you do a big sin, فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا. Some people, they'll think 1,000 times before they do the sin. And they do it that first time is very hard. After that, it's a really easy road. Things like zina. And unfortunately, we have zina. It happens. Prophet ﷺ predicted. He said, yes, there are in my ummah people who of zina. But the first time people told themselves, and as soon as they go down the road, and Allah said about zina, it doesn't go into description and analyzing what happens. He said, إِنَّهُ فَحِشَ وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. It's a bad thing and it's a bad road to go down. سَاءَ سَبِيلًا. It just goes on and on and on. And to stop is very hard. So, فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا. He ripped away his religion. He sacrificed his religion so he could get a bit of dunya. Because he wanted the fame, he wanted to be recognized. فَاتْبَعُ شَيْطَان. So as soon as shaitan sees you fall like that, the shaitan becomes your follower. I'm going to follow him now, he's easy. He. The hardest thing was to get him just to do that first fail, to drop. Now he's done it, I've got him. فَاتْبَعُ شَيْطَان. And Allah, and subhanAllah, وَكَانَ مِنَ الْغَوِينَ. And then he went astray. And the ayah after that is وَلَوْ شِئْنَا. And if we had and if he had willed, لَرَفَعَنَاهُ, we would have elevated him biha. We would have made him something good. If he had a bit of patience. Some people want to have that victory or that fame or fortune quickly. If he just had some patience, he would have been something. But he didn't want it. He wanted the quick win, the quick fix. وَلَكِنَّهُ أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. However, he went down to the earth. أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. And the problem is, the ard, we're all going to go back to the ard. Prophet ﷺ said, you know, we if you had one jabal of gold, if you had a mountain of gold, you'd want two. But he said, nothing will fill your mouth except dust. When we go to the grave, subhanAllah, I mean, honestly, many people I know, it's happening. The older we get, we're seeing people dying. A friend of mine, his son, 25 years old, died in his bed. No health issues, nothing wrong with him. Healthy, strong, fit, just started a job, died in his bed. That's it. And we went to his funeral, and the turab is in his mouth now. I don't know what his situation is. We ask Allah to give him rahmah, and we ask Allah to give rahmah and mercy to all of the people who have passed away. But these are things just to make you think. The angel of death is visiting us all the time. Whether it be far away, whether it be a celebrity. These celebrities dying all the time. They're saying 2016, all these celebrities died. David Bowie and George Michael. Where are they now? Turab is in their mouth, that's it. It's something to reflect upon, because Even if we do live to an old age, the only thing that we're going to be left with is our morals. Because that little quick buck, what are you going to end up with in the end? Maybe what? A nicer car, nicer house. Then what? The only thing you'll be left with is the morals and how people remembered you and what you did to them. And if you cheat once, you can cheat again. Unless you say, not necessarily all cheats will always cheat again, but we need to think about, is it just that once? Oh, just that once. I'll just do it once. I'll make my success and then I'll do good inshallah. Once, that's the once he did, which is one too many. فَأَخْلَدِ الْأَرْضِ وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ. And then he followed his desires. Once you do one, you'll do another. And the thing is, a lot of young people especially, we want to fit in. We want to feel like, especially in this country, we want to fit in. Everyone's going for a drink. Let me just have one. What harm is it? It's not going to harm my body, it's just the one. No one's going to know. Doesn't matter, are we a servant of the people? Are we a servant of the action or are we a servant of Allah? Allah said it's about, don't go near it. فَاشْتَنِبُ. Go steer clear away from alcohol. But, oh, just the one. Oh, but prove to me, I don't see any proof really. Is it haram? And people are arguing about, is it haram? And they keep trying to find ways out. No, khamra is haram, it's very clear. But it's just, I want to fit in because we're in a modern society. Faith is between me and Allah. I have a connection. And many people I've spoken to, I have a connection with Allah. It's in my heart. That's good. We're not going to judge you. We're not going to say, we're not supposed to look at those people. They're bad, they're good. Because they could end up better than us. Because we could end up like Bil'am bin Ba'ra and we hope we don't. And we can fall back and they can go ahead. So never put people off. And that's one of the things which a lot of us Muslims can fall into is judging. Because judging is a lot easier than thinking. It's hard to think things through. It's easy to judge. He's mubtada, he's bid'ah, he's kafir, he's this, he's that. Labeling. And even within our own Muslim ummah. He's sunni, he's shia, he's salafi, he's sufi, he's whatever. Again, it's very easy. That's a judgment. And you're labeling his whole person or her person because she says one or two things. We're all on a learning curve. We're all learning. And the problem with a lot of the scholars, unfortunately, we have some of them who are too arrogant and they have an ego that they're not able to go back, retract their fatwas. There are some fatwas that they'll agree were wrong. A good scholar will say, I made a mistake. This was wrong. I didn't mean it. I was uneducated in this situation and I'm retracting the fatwa. Ibn Taymiyyah himself did that. A lot of people hold on to Ibn Taymiyyah's older fatwas. Later on he changed. We're evolving. His younger fatwas were a lot harsher. When he grew up and when he learned things and he met people, he changed. So, Bil'am bin Ba'ura, فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا فَاتْبَعُ شَيْطَان. So the shaitan followed Bil'am bin Ba'ura. So he said to the people, to the women, go and try and lure and tempt Bani Israel so that they can fall into the sins. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is what he's really like. This is the nature. And all good scholars, they're like psychiatrists and psychologists. They don't have to sit with you for too long to understand what the situation is. And the Quran is very good at just keeping it concise. Doesn't go into great detail. Keeps it concise and lets you think. So, what does Allah say he's like? فَمَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ الْكَلْبِ. Bil'am bin Ba'ra is the same example as a dog. Now that's not anything, it's not discrediting dogs. It's discrediting humans who are like dogs. إِن تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْهِ يَلْهَثْ أَوْ تَتْرُكُهُ يَلْهَثْ. If you were to give him things to do and you run after a dog and you give him a lot of things, he's panting. يَلْهَثْ. And if you leave him, يَلْهَثْ. So if you leave a dog, he pants. You know, a dog can just come up to you and start panting. And then he runs after you and plays and you give him food and you look after him, he pants. He's the same. Dogs don't change. It's the same with Bil'am bin Ba'ra. He wants the dunya, have the dunya. Have it. And also we need to be careful that a lot of the time we ask for particulars. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said that sometimes Allah can be upset with a person, He give them everything they ask for. Everything you want, you get. Is it always good to get what you want? A child, if he says to you, I want chocolate, give it to him. I want more, give it to them. I want more. Is that good? Sometimes you don't know what you want. And that's why we don't all get what we want. And that's a blessing from Allah. So we need to look for the blessing in the tribulation. Sometimes Allah puts a block in our way for something. I really wanted that job. I really wanted that house. I really wanted whatever. You can't get it. Oh Allah, please give me a Mercedes ML because it looks nice. And you want this, you want that. You ask for particulars. Maybe you don't want that. And how many people have we seen who get them and it causes them problems? they get a little scratch on the car, then they spend 2 weeks worrying, it's going to cost me £1,000 to fix it, and oh my God, and then they have a fight with their wife, and then they don't play with their children, and they have arguments. Material can lead to problems. And that's just one example of many. But I'm saying if you ask, keep asking for particulars, you don't necessarily know. That's why we should ask Allah, Allah, give me what's good for me. And take away from me what's bad for me. Give me what's good for me. And make me see. Allahumma arina al-haqq haqq. Allah, show me the truth as truth. Warzuqni tiba'a. And let me follow the truth. Wa arina al-batila batilan warzuqni ijtinaba. And show me the false as false. And let me stay away from it. And Prophet Muhammad used to say this dua a lot. Allahumma arina al-ashya' kama hiya. Oh Allah, show me things as they truly are. Because a wise person who is able to discern will say, there's something wrong here. I don't need this. That's enough. But a person who's tempted, like Bil'am bin Ba'ra, he can fall into those things and even lose his own religion. And like the story we know of the Sahabi who went to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, I'm a poor person. I don't have any money. Please make dua for me that Allah will give me. So he didn't. And Muhammad didn't like to refuse people and push them away. But for this man, he didn't. And he used to come. And he had what they call ilhah. He was kept on and on. Ya Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah. So he made dua for him. So he used to be in the first saf in the masjid every day. Then gradually he became second saf, third saf, and he became richer, and he had more things to do. Then he went to the last saf, and then he hardly came. And that's because he got what he wanted, but was that necessarily good for him? Sometimes we can live our lives poor, all our lives. That's what Allah wants for us. Sometimes it's something that can be fixed because of our own faults. But at the same time, do what you can, and then the rest is for Allah. Work hard now, and leave it the rest to Allah. And you find money comes to you without even looking sometimes. That's what a rizq is. You don't know, it's already prescribed for you. Allah has said, this person is going to have this much in their life, they're going to have this. Can you prevent things? Yes, we have to. And that's the problem, there's a weighing between iman and our own aql. And that's why in the Quran where it says, nur ala nur, the Quran says, nur ala nur. People think that means like fate, like Allah's light upon Allah's light, which means literally. The Mufassirin, they say that nur ala nur means wahy. Nur is wahy, which is revelation, ala aql. Revelation upon intellect. Now, the amount of times we've heard people claiming and saying, we need Quran and Sunnah, Quran and Sunnah, Quran and Sunnah, Quran and Sunnah. Quran and Sunnah and the Hadith and all of those things is just the one third of the religion. One third. The other third of the religion is the application and knowing how to go through them and dissect them and understand them and analyze them. And that requires a lot of study. And the last third for a religious person to be successful and know their thing is for them to have a natural ability of understanding and have a good intellect. Because there are some shuyukh who can memorize the Quran but they don't know how to apply. So they'll say the hadith. And again, it's not about accumulation of hadith and Quran. There are many scholars who can recite the Quran straight away and can say the hadith straight away, but they don't know when to apply it properly. A good scholar is someone who knows where to get the information from. I asked one of the sheikhs I went to, I said, what's a good scholar? How do I know a good scholar? He says, somebody who says, I don't know a lot, that's the first thing. I'll tell you later. He doesn't have an ego, like, oh, I know everything. Yeah, just ask me anything you want, I'll tell you. He doesn't have an ego. And he said, the second thing is, he knows where to get the information from. So if he doesn't have it there, he knows where to go. Not just his hawa, and not his opinion. And we need to differentiate between opinion and the shara of Allah. Shara of Allah is fixed. The sharia, however, is our own interpretation of it. So, back to the story, Bil'am bin Ba'ura, he sacrificed his own religion for the sake of a little bit of dunya. And what happened to him in the end? We don't even know how he ended. He just, Prophet Moses made the dua against him and he went away. And he probably carried on in the world and that was it for him. Just for a little bit of dunya, so he can be famous and well known, he sacrifices religion. He could have been in Bani Israel and got the success and reward with Allah, but he decided, no, I'm going to just go down this path because I want it now. So we need to ask ourselves the question, inshallah, how much every day, because every day is a test, how much do we sacrifice and how much do we say to ourselves, is this a test from Allah? Everything is a test, and you need to think of it this way. Every person around us is an actor within the theatre of our life. They don't know they're acting, and we don't know we're acting in their lives. But you don't know who they are. Everyone's acting. We're all an act. We all do things for a reason. We don't know why, but Allah, in His majestic ability, has created a world where things happen for a reason. It's not just for the sake. It doesn't just happen like that. Everyone is here for a reason, and we're all doing something for each other. And it's a test. You'll come to a crossroad one day. Should I do it? Shouldn't I do it? It can be to do something bad or to do something good. And that's a test that we need to ask ourselves. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not let us fall into the traps like Bil'am bin Ba'arat, which are the fitna of nisa, fitna of wealth, fitna of fame and fortune, and all of the things which can sacrifice our religion. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us the truth and to guide us to the truth and to allow us to die upon the truth, inshaAllah. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these difficult times that He opens our hearts, because the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet Muhammad sallam is called the shadowless prophet. The shadowless prophet. He didn't have a shadow. Does that mean he didn't have a physical shadow? It means the truth was so clear to him, and he was able to give that truth to other people, that there is no element of doubt. Because the dhul is a creation of Allah. The shadow that we see is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَجَعْنَاهُ سَكَنًا. If we had willed, we could have created the shadow still. But Allah has created shadow for a reason, so that we can reflect. There's light, because pure light is bad, pure darkness is bad. And unfortunately, some of us are blinded by the light of religion, as opposed to being guided. And they say, beware of the man who only reads one book. Some of us are only reading the Qur'an. There's a lot of books that explain the Qur'an and give us much more in-depth. You can have books that explain one word from the Qur'an, books and volumes of books that explain one word. Our religion is a very deep and a very sophisticated one. And it's full. Every single problem we have, we can find the answer for in our religion. But it's not just through the Qur'an, because the Qur'an is something, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ. Even at the beginning of the Qur'an says, ذَلِكَ, that book. It doesn't say this book, it says that book. It's an elevated thing. It's very hard to really grasp its full meaning. And no scholar can ever say, I've understood the Qur'an in its entirety. And we have now people doing tafsir at a very young age. Traditionally, tafsir was done when he's 80, 90, 100 years old. After he'd mastered every single science, he'd go to do tafsir. And we need tafsir. And I really encourage all of us, if we can get together and read through the Qur'an and reflect. Because it means something different to everyone. You can see something and I can see something different, and we all reflect. As long as it's within the boundaries of what the language is and all of the rules and regulations of what the language means. But to do your own tafsir, and people are going on Google now and YouTube and doing tafsir of Qur'an. And I see young people, he's like in his 20s and he's called Mufti so-and-so. Do you know what a Mufti is? A Mufti is a big thing. How can you call yourself a Mufti? And one of the first things to be scared of, as soon as somebody says, me, I'm this, I'm that, be careful. The first thing he says, I really don't know, I'm still learning, I'm trying. And again, we're in that world of material, because we aspire to look at the people who are very confident. Oh, he's so confident, I really trust that guy. Don't worry, don't think that confidence and conviction in someone's belief is truth. How many people have been convinced and convicted and really, you know, they really believe in something, but it's wrong? Just because they're, and honestly, some of the best scholars in the world, they're the most quiet ones. And if you see a room of people, and we get it in our work environments, you get people who are they're full of ego, the loudest ones, and we say empty vessels make the most noise. An English saying, empty vessels make the most noise. If you tap something and it's empty, you'll hear vibrations and noise and echoes. Something that's solid doesn't make much noise. He doesn't need to. He's solid. He doesn't need to go and show off and say, I'm this. Oh, and I did this. He's confident. He's got the solid things. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His nur ala nur to be bestowed upon us, for His wahya ala aql to give us the intellect, inshaAllah, to understand this beautiful religion, and to give us the guidance and the wahya from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to decipher what we need for our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon all of those who've passed and haven't been able to be with us for these days. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy for us in the future, for all of us, whenever our time may come. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافينا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا اللهم فيما أعطيت. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وأقم الصلاة.